going to read today, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Praise the Lord for his word today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Thank God for his word. You know, when you become a Christian, everything is replaced in your heart and your spirit is replaced. All the hate, all the bitterness, all the emptiness, everything is replaced with the love of God. Praise God. Amen. And from that day forward, we are filled with his love. We're motivated by the love of God. We're even known by our love. Scripture says in Romans 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, just meaning that our heart is filled and we are then quickened by this love. And it's the motivating force and power in our life because we love the Lord and his love has filled our lives. And you'll read in 1 John, all throughout this book, you read so much about the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You can see that this entire book is really about God's love and how that the love of God, whenever you become a Christian, it fills your life and you are then motivated by the love of God. The Bible says God is love. No greater description, no greater definition of who he is than that. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. That's the love of God. Luke chapter 10, verse 27, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You can see that great commandment is a description of what happens to a person when they come to know the Lord. Their life is filled up with the love of God. And I've witnessed it. And I know you have too. You've experienced it. The love of God, that your heart is filled with the love of God. You've been transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. And then that verse that is the most known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we know that the Word of God is filled with this description of the people of God and who we are and what motivates us to live the way we live and to do what we do. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But then we come to this text. It's also in this same book that's so filled with the description of the love of God. And it says, love not. Love not. Not. Don't love. This is a command from the Lord. Just as much as we are commanded to love our neighbors and to love our brothers and even to love our enemies as Christians, this also is a command given to every believer. Love not the world. Just as critical, and I think certainly in the world we're living in right now, that we need this reminder, this of the commandment of God to us, that reminds us that we are never to love this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. So with all of the description of who God is love, and that he's filled our hearts with love, then we're reminded of the fact that there's the possibility that we can get love wrong. We can love some things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Love even can be sinful if it's directed at the wrong things. Amen. Now, the world is described in several different ways. And of course, the Greek word is the word cosmos. It's used several ways in the scripture. In one way it's describing all of creation. So it's not saying love not creation. It's obvious that we should love creation. I don't mean necessarily that we're extremists when it comes to, you know, taking care of protecting the environment. Although I think it should be that Christians care about the world we live in. Oh, we are so blessed. And everything about this world is pretty amazing. At this time of the year, in the springtime, you see everything greening and blooming. And you look everywhere you look, you just see the beauty of creation. And this verse is not talking about don't love creation, don't love the physical world that we live in. Obviously, we should care about this world. I don't know about you, but I've seen people, you know, rolling their car windows down and throwing trash out on the side of the road. And I don't know, that's just pretty disgusting. It really is. For people to treat our beautiful world in that way. I think it's obvious that when he says do not love the world, he's not talking about don't love creation. And in fact, God created in 6 days everything that we see in this world, all the beauty and the wonder of creation. And I've seen some of the things in our world that are beautiful. I've been to the Atlantic, I've been to the Pacific, I've been to the Gulf. I've seen the ocean, and it's just pretty amazing. It's pretty beautiful, isn't it? It's just amazing. I've been to the mountains where the Schooley brothers are from. I've been up there to Colorado Springs. It's probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, ever. It's a beautiful, beautiful place in our world. So God is not saying, don't love this world, the creation. We're to love it. He created this earth in all of its beauty for us. And then he created man as the crowning creation and put him right down in creation and said, take care of this earth. You're the master of this earth. You're in control. Take dominion over creation and over this earth. And so we have a stewardship, don't we, as far as this world and creation is concerned. So it doesn't mean don't love the world, the creation of the world. We love it. We admire it, the beauty of it and the blessing of it. Another aspect of the world is people. People, sometimes in the scripture, when it talks about the world, it's talking about the people. The verse that I just gave you there that is the most known verse in the Bible, God so loved the world, he's not just talking about creation, he's literally talking about the people that inhabit this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so when he says, love not the world, he's not talking about the people of this world. We are to love the people of this world. The more than 8 billion people that inhabit this planet, we should love them. As Christians, we should care about people. It doesn't matter who they are, what their background is, what position in life they're in. We're to love them all. I've been thinking a lot about the people of Iran. I know there's an extremist regime there that kind of is in control, but there's more than 90 million people there, and most of those people are innocents. They're not really guilty of the things. It's that wicked regime that's in control of the government, and so we should pray for Iran.
We should pray for the souls of the people that are under the control of many of these harsh and wicked regimes. We should love people, even people that don't deserve to be loved. Amen. God so loved the world, and we should so love the world, even those that are terrorists and those that are full of hate and violence and people that you know that are rejecting God and hate the things of God. We still love the people, don't we? God so loved the world. So it's not talking, when it says love not the world, it's not talking about the world we live in, creation. It's not talking about the people in this world. So what is this verse talking about when it says, do not love the world? Do not love the world. It's talking about the system of the world, the cosmos, the system of the world that opposes God and that opposes the kingdom of God. In the realm of the spirit, there's a spirit realm that opposes God and opposes the word of God and opposes everything that is godly. It's an anti-Christ, an anti-God, anti-word of God spirit in this world. That's what we are commanded not to love. Even with all the love scriptures in 1 John, he points out this very critical and important thing that every believer needs to be reminded of. There's a system that's against God that we do not love, we despise, and we hate. Amen. John Wesley said, anything that cools my affection or my love for Christ is of the world. Anything that causes me to be drawn away from my commitment to the Lord and my love for the things of the Lord. And so the world is it can be a lot of different things, but anything that draws you away from the Lord. By the way, we're in a struggle in this world. It is a struggle. We're in a conflict constantly because we live in this present world. We live in the middle of this cosmos, this world system that opposes God, and it's more and more obvious everywhere you look, all around our world, even in our nation here, this nation that was founded on the principles of God's word, and we have many wonderful things about our history and our founding in this nation that relate to God and to the word of the Lord. It's pretty obvious that we are moving in a direction in our world, in our society today, that is against God. It is opposing the things of God. That's why also in 1 John chapter 5, it says that we are to overcome the world. We are to have victory, the victory that overcometh the world. It's talking about that spirit, that opposing spirit, that anti-God spirit that's prevalent in our world today. Some of you may have seen these little videos that they put up of people on the streets of major cities, and they're saying, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you love or do you know Jesus Christ? And I mean, it's just one person after another saying, no, I don't have anything to do with that. Get away from me. And that's the spirit of the age that we live in right now. That's the spirit that by the Spirit of God, we are commanded not to love, but despise that spirit that is of this age that does not love the things of God. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. It describes the fact that if you are following God and you're following the principles of the Word of God, that you become an enemy of the world. And the world becomes your enemy. It's a kind of an awkward situation that we're in because we are to love people and reach out to people and to care about them and to pray for them to know the Lord, but understand that they too are under the influence of the spirit of this age, that worldly spirit, that cosmos, that anti-God spirit that's in our world today. How powerful is it? It's very powerful. It's very, very important as believers that we understand how important it is to resist the spirit of this age and to resist the spirit of this world and to follow God with all of our heart. There's a man in the New Testament that's only mentioned three times. His name is Demas. We don't know a whole lot about Demas except that he is mentioned as a companion of the Apostle Paul. And in Colossians chapter 4, Demas is mentioned as the book of Colossians is being concluded there by the Apostle Paul. He refers to Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So we can see that Demas was a close companion of the Apostle Paul, and he's right in there with the beloved physician, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, and he was a companion with these in ministry. Apparently, Demas probably was a convert of the Apostle Paul when he took his missionary journey and went through the city of Thessalonica. It was very likely that that is where Demas came to know the Lord and began to follow the Apostle Paul as a companion in ministry. Thessalonica was a wealthy city. It was kind of a, for its time, a very progressive city and a very kind of a nightlife type city. It was kind of like, in the biblical times, kind of like a Las Vegas type city. It was a city filled with a lot of attractions and a lot of things of this world. You know, some believe that Demas actually was the writer of the book of Colossians. And by that I mean Paul the Apostle was in prison and transcribed it, dictated it, and many believe that it was Demas that was the actual writer of the book of Colossians as the Apostle Paul dictated it to him. So this just kind of shows you how deep and how close and how involved in ministry that he was. He was a trusted companion, a trusted partner in ministry. So he's mentioned there in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 14 as a companion with Luke. And then in Philippians, he's in chapter 1 and verse 23 and 24, there salute the Epaphras, the fellow prisoner in Christ, or he was in prison with the Apostle Paul, Epaphras was, and Marcus, who's Mark, and Aristarchus, and Demas, and Lucas, my fellow laborers. And so those that would visit the Apostle Paul while he was in prison and minister to him and carry his letters from prison. I mean, he was a trusted follower of Jesus and a companion with the Apostle Paul. That's the second time that he's mentioned. The third time that he's mentioned is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 10 when the Apostle Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." He went back home. He went back to the worldly place. He went back to the place of his where he was converted, where he met the Apostle Paul. Something about the attraction and the pull of Thessalonica pulled him away from his commitment to Paul, his commitment to the ministry, and even his involved in the work and the ministry that he was. Demas forsook it and went back to Thessalonica, having loved this present world. There is a very strong attraction. There's a very strong alluring power to the world. And it doesn't matter who you are or what age you are. You can be a young person, and there's a lot of things pulling at young people these days that are very attractive, things of this world that are pulling at a younger generation. But it's not just the younger generation. Every age group, and even those, if you're like me, you're kind of old, there's still the pull of the world. It still has an allure. It still has an attraction. And the commandment here from John is love not the world. Love not the world. Don't allow your heart or your affections to be set upon the things of this world Or you'll end up like Demas. The Bible says he loved this world. He was loved the present world. He was attracted by it. And it pulled him away from his walk with God. It pulled him away from his purpose, his calling, his ministry. And we won't know. That's the end. We don't know anything else. I mean, there's some you know, Jewish history about what happened to Demas. But actually, we don't really know that. That's the end of the story there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Because he forsook Paul. He forsook his calling. He forsook his ministry. And he forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that he did was he loved the world. He loved this present world. And it does have an attraction. It does have a real pull upon your life. And it's so important to make sure that you love God with all of your heart and the things of God, and you do not allow this world to pull you away from the things of God. I just want to mention three areas here where I believe that it's very easy to be pulled away from the Lord. First of all, in the area of the Word of God, you see, we need to know what the Bible says. The reason why you get off track, the reason why you get to moving into an area that's false and not the ways of the Lord is because you do not know the Word of the Lord. There's a lot of Christians that go to church often, but they haven't read their Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. They don't pay attention to the Word of the Lord. And it's easy to get led astray when you do not know the truth of God's Word. You need to know the Word of God. Amen. And the Word of God is a light to your path. It is a guide in your life. It is the rule. It's the authority for your life. Every decision, everything about your life, there's something in the Word of God that gives you instruction in every area of your life, whether it be family or marriage or finances or raising children or business, or it doesn't matter, any area of your life, the Word of God speaks to it. Amen. And if you know what the Bible says, if you know the Word of the Lord, that's going to keep you from being drawn away from the things of the Lord. What does the Bible say about it? That should be the question whenever any area of your life comes up for question or debate. What does the Bible say about it? Not what the opinions of men are, not what everybody else is doing and everybody, the direction of everyone else's life. What does the Bible say about it? Amen. In every area of our life, we have to be guided by the truth of the Word of God. Love God's Word. Fill your mind and your heart with the Word of the Lord, and you will not be caught into this pull away from God and into the world. Amen. They're just not compatible. If you know the Word of God, if you've built your life upon the Word of the Lord, then you will not fall prey to the temptation and the alluring things of this world. Love not the world. Love God's Word. Amen. Word of God is quick and powerful. It means it's living. It's alive. The Word of God is living. It's not just an old, outdated book. It's a living book today that speaks to 2026. It's just as important today. It's just as applicable to the lives of people in this present world and culture that we're living in right now as it has ever been. It's a living book. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a powerful, powerful book that keeps you on track. It keeps you in line with the will of God for your life. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Put the Word of God in your mind. Fill your mind, your heart. Saturate your life with the Word of the Lord. And that will keep you from falling into the trap of this world system that we are in. Amen. You can see right now that more and more, just the things of God, there's a much bigger difference between what the world is doing and what the Word of God says. I mean, we're just getting further and further apart, because that's the direction of this world, to pull you away from God. That spirit of this age. A second area where the enemy wants to attack is in the area of the church. You see, the enemy wants to isolate you, and he wants to keep you from the house of God. Keep you from setting aside Sunday as the day of the Lord. This is God's commandment to be here. And it's not just a religious habit that we get into. We are commanded to be in the house of the Lord, to gather together. And it's for our good, and it will keep you from going into error. It'll keep you from a love for the world. Sure, the church needs you, but even more than that, you need the church. The house of God has to be a priority in your life, and don't allow anything. And I know it's easy for just anything just to keep you out of the house of the Lord. Set aside Sunday as the Lord's day and make it holy. Amen. Right here in the house of the Lord, you receive help. You receive instruction. You receive support and encouragement. You have accountability before God. And if you're not careful, you will misplace priorities, and it won't be as important to you as it should be. It is important to be here on Sunday morning. It is important to be here on Sunday night. It's an important thing to be here. Whenever you have opportunities to be in the house of the Lord, oh, what a blessing that it is. And it will help you to avoid the pull of the world. Amen. It certainly will. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The coming of the Lord, the end of this age. That's what it's talking about, that as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, then there's going to be this trend, this attitude that says, it's not all that important. It's not that important to make the Lord's day a holy day, to set it aside for the Lord, to make it holy. Set this day apart. Don't allow the Lord's day to be an ordinary day. Don't allow this day to be the day you catch up on all your shopping, or that you do all your extra jobs that you've got to do. Stop all that. Cease from all your labors and focus upon the Lord. If you don't, it'll be so easy to be caught up in the pull of the world. Amen. Amen. Honor the Lord. Make this day, this first day of the week, honor the Lord. Make him first in your life. Amen. Give him the first day of the week. Honor the Lord. Make it holy and serve the Lord. And then all the other 6 days of the week will be so much more productive and so much more blessed whenever you honor the Lord and give that day to the Lord and be in his house. Praise God. Amen. So in the area of the Word of God, in the area of the church, and the third area is in the area of your calling and the purpose of God in your life. All of us, we have been called of God. Certainly we've been called out of sin, called to become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. But we have all been called with a holy purpose. And I don't know what your calling is. I don't know what God has put his hand upon your life to do, but I do know this. I know that when you become a Christian, you have a new purpose in life. And if you're not careful, you can get sidetracked from the call of God and the purpose of God in your life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. We have been called according to His purpose. Amen. Don't be distracted by other things that seem to be important. Remember, you've been called of God to follow the Lord and to fulfill your holy purpose for your life. Don't get distracted by other things in this world. If you are, you'll be caught up in the alluring attraction of things of this world. That's just the spirit of the world we live in right now. And all around us, in every direction, it's so easy to get caught up in it and to move in that direction and leave that commitment that we have made to the Lord. But you've been called of God, not to be conformed to the world, not to be like the world, not to love this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world, but love the Lord. Amen. With all of your heart. And so in the area of your calling, don't forget that. Don't forsake that. The call of God is not just a few select people that are called to missions or called to pastor or called in some areas. Every one of us as Christians, we all have a calling upon our life. And we are to pursue that and to develop that and to be used of the Lord to fulfill what He's called us. And when you get sidetracked from that calling, it's so easy to drawn back in to the world, back in to the love for the world, love for the things of the world. It's so easy for any of us to do that. That's why the commandment is here. Don't love the world. Don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. But instead, make your commitment to God, to His word, to the house of God, to the call of God that is upon your life. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just thank You. Because in these last days, we need, Lord, a renewed commitment to You, a renewed commitment to Your word and to the things of God, to the house of God. Forgive us, Lord, because we've allowed other things to take the place of these areas of our life. And as a result, our hearts are pulled away. We are allured, we're attracted by things in this world. We allow other things to be more important to us than the things of God. Lord, forgive us because we've allowed things in this world to pull us away. Help us, Lord, to love You with our whole heart, with all of our might, with all of our strength. Lord, help us to love You and to love not the world, but to love the things of God. Lord, I just pray that You would speak, Lord, in this service today, remind us all, Lord, of how easy it is to be pulled away from the call of God and the purpose of God in our life. And help us to renew that commitment to You today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Can we stand, everybody?